Hey guys, I want to talk to you about the story of the 10 lepers. Leprosy was a disease that was really terrible, not just because of how bad it was on the body, and it was very bad on the body, but also because the people that had it were taken out of the city. They had to be away from them because of the fear of the others in the city contracting the disease. And with the 10 lepers, there were 10 guys that were together that were lepers, who were outcasts. And they heard that Jesus was close to where they were. So they went to where he was and they called out to him and asked for mercy. And Jesus gave them mercy as well. He told them to go to the priest. See, there was one that was special. Remember him. He told them to go to the priest and that the priest would claim them as healed. So all 10 went, and all 10 were claimed as healed. But you see, there were 9. And remember, there was one special. But there were 9 that did something else. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 9 that went on with their lives. Yeah, they didn't have leprosy anymore, and that was great. That was wonderful. But they just went on with their lives. But one was different. One, that special one. He came back and he thanked Jesus. Have you ever asked for something and got what you asked for and not given thanks? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
You're familiar with that Bible scripture about the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus and only one came back? It happened to be a foreigner. The Samaritans, they were known, they were half Jewish, and so they're known as half-breeds. People looked down upon them. So Jesus is always emphasizing it was the lowest of life that did what was right. But this idea of Thanksgiving, it's really hard to come preach on, because what do you talk about? Hey, you know, be thankful. You got to be thankful. I remember as a kid, my mother would give me a present or something, and I was so excited about this present. I'm ripping it open. I'm looking at it. I'm checking it out. And after a few minutes, my mother would start to get a little bit sarcastic, and she goes, "Well, you're welcome." Ever give somebody a gift and they don't say anything, and then finally say, "You're welcome," and I go, "Oh yeah, thanks, Mom." You know, and am I really thankful? Am I genuinely thankful? When we start thinking about Thanksgiving, are we really thankful? What is it that we're thankful for? In this scripture here, we see that there's 10 lepers. Now, I don't know, have you ever seen leprosy before? I went to India a long time ago, and I saw some people with leprosy, missing fingers, missing some other body parts, decaying skin. It really smells terrible. You know, today, we'd probably consider people maybe have Ebola, like they considered lepers. You know, if there was someone who had Ebola in here, how many of us are going to stay in church? You know, we're all out the door, aren't we? We would look at it that way. That's how leprosy was looked at as Jesus' day. People who had leprosy, they went went to the priest. The priest would say, "You're unclean." They'd banish him. They had to live in their own colonies. They had to stay a long ways away from people. Sometimes they made him wear bells, so when they're walking, they have to yell out, "Leper, unclean, unclean," so people would stay away from them. They weren't allowed to go near people. They weren't able to be touched by their family or cared for or loved. They were outcasts. Just waiting to die. So you get these 10. Let's look at the scripture here. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. See, they had to stay away. They lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. When Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." So Jesus is telling this story of how he healed 10 people. He's telling this story. It's real interesting, too. All 10 of them showed some faith, didn't they? Jesus said, "Hey," you know, they said, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "Hey, just go to the priest." Because that's what you were supposed to do. If you were healed from something like that, you had to go show yourself to the priest. He would say, "Okay, you're good to go. You're cleansed. You can get back in society." All 10 of them left to go to the priests. All of them had a measure of faith that what Jesus told them to do, and that they were healed. All 10 were healed. But there was something that real significance here. It really hit me as I was reading this. This one leper, the Samaritan, he recognized it. He noticed it. He saw that he was healed. And when he saw that, when he noticed it, when he experienced it, he had to do something. He had to give thanks. I have a friend of mine who's in has acute leukemia. And he told me that he's in remission. Pretty exciting news. Acute leukemia, not looking good. In remission, that's good news. Who do you think he's telling that to? Everyone he talks to. You know, Jeff and Ayana got married here recently. Got engaged before that. That's what you do. You get engaged, then you get married, just in case there's any confusion on that. When you got engaged, who'd you tell? Everybody. Jeff's going, "Yeah, I did. No, I didn't." He wasn't real. No, yeah, they're telling everybody. Why? Because it's good news. They're going around, they're excited about it. Vinny got married, you know? Michonne's going, "Don't tell everybody, Vinny." No, they're excited about it. It's good news. They're thankful about it. That's what happened with this leper. He understood what God did for him. And he went back before God and fell on his face and worshiped him. You know, we tend to live in the most blessed nation probably in the world, without a doubt. The poorest among us are richer than 85% of the world, easily. If you've got a refrigerator in your house, you're wealthier than 85% of the world. Makes you feel pretty good. I didn't think I was that rich. Hey, I'm above 85% here. But we don't look at it that way. We look at what we don't have. Sometimes we don't recognize our blessings. And I think it kind of starts out even with this idea of knowing what God has done for us. You know, if I was to ask you, raise your hand, how many people have come to this understanding that Jesus has died for me? I've given him my life. We sang this song, "He died, took our sin, our shame." Most of us would say, "Yeah, I understand that. I grab that." Are we truly thankful for it? Kind of the title of today is "Thank You," living boldly these two words. Do we live a life that demonstrates that we are thankful to God? If so, how does that play out? How does that look? Understanding these blessings and how God has worked. And there's much more. See, the problem is when we don't realize how we've been blessed, if we're not truly grateful and thankful in that, we begin to miss out on noticing all the other ways that we have been blessed. See, this idea of a thankful heart leads us to additional blessings. If we don't realize that we've been blessed, we don't necessarily see how we've been blessed, other areas that we've been blessed. The first way it leads us is we're blessed by being drawn to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Look at the 10 lepers. All of them blessed. All of them healed. All of them being able to get back into life. One came back and thanked God. All 10 had the opportunity to come and worship God and draw closer to Jesus and develop a relationship with him. All of them. But only one did. One came back to give thanks to God in gratitude, and he was drawn into a deeper relationship with Jesus. What a blessing that is. To understand that God has done something for you, understand that God has saved me. You know, I think that this idea of salvation, you know what? I don't have a really clear grasp of what I'm saved from. Because this idea of, all right, because of sin, I deserve hell. I don't know what hell is like. How can I? So I think of the problem is, hard for us to grasp this because we don't understand fully what we've been saved from. But as we come to that point, we come back with this heart of gratitude and we thank God and we're drawn to him. And you know what God does is he begins to open up our eyes and saying, yeah, yep, you're blessed this way too. I've taken care of that. In fact, you don't have to worry about the things in your life. I'm your Father. I take care of them. That's what God does. Another blessing that we received is we're blessed for, we're blessed by being commended for our faith. Look what he told the one leper. He says, get up, arise. You've got great faith. How many of us would want God to say to us, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant? Yeah. See, when we begin to recognize how God has blessed us, we begin to draw closer to Jesus. And you know what we hear Jesus say to us? I like your faith. Faith I've given you, but I like your faith. Commended for your faith. Kind of the way that Thanksgiving works. By giving thanks for what we've been given, you know what? We're blessed again, or we're able to see how we've been blessed again. Maybe that's a better way to say it. We're able to see how we've been blessed again. Let me give you a practical illustration, practical testimony. Several weeks ago, I was here on a Saturday night. I think it was September 30th. I was supposed to preach that night. I think it was on the theology of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit 101. I still have it here, by the way. I could do that too today if you wanted me to. But I didn't preach that weekend. I got a text. Got a text from my wife. That she was going to take her life that night. I called some friends in Albany and had them go to the house right away and told Greg, I gotta go. Here's my sermon notes if you want to use them, if they're any good to you. And I got home. By the time I got home, the friends had called 911, and they were on their way to the house, too. My wife had taken some pills. See, there was some struggles that Adrian's had for a long time. Since she was a child, there's some traumatic things that have occurred in her life, and never able to get through them. I found out about it after we were married a few years, probably 4 years into our married, and she was just having a really hard time going out of the house. What's it called? Agoraphobic. You know, we just can't, you're afraid to leave. And we went through some counseling, and, you know, at that time she was able to tell me about some of the traumatic things that she had experienced. For the last 25 years, we've been trying to work through it, but it's really hard. It's been a hard thing in her life. For over 40 years, she's been carrying this. You know, that night, I'm in the hospital with her, and it was remarkable. It was an amazing thing. It didn't affect her breathing. It didn't affect her heart. I mean, miraculously, it didn't affect her. She was never in any danger physically. It just put her to sleep, which I really thank God for. I really think God was working in that. And I'm sitting in the hospital, and two thoughts come to my mind. One, all right, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? What do I need to learn? And the second was, you know, God, I know you're going to use this for good in Adrian's life, my life, Matthew, my daughter Bethany. Somehow I know you're going to use it for good. It opened Adrian's eyes up. See, she is just tired of existing, and she couldn't take it anymore. The pain, the trauma, she just couldn't take it anymore. She came out of that hospital saying, I don't want to live this way anymore, but I want to live. Before that, I don't want to live this way, I'm not going to live. Right now, Adrienne's at a center down in Arizona. She's been there for 3 weeks. It deals with trauma and a bunch of other things as well. I can't believe she's there. She had such separation anxiety that if I was to leave, she'd basically go to bed. If I left the house, she'd go to bed. She had to be with me wherever I was at. There's functions. I didn't come to church at times because I couldn't leave her. She had such anxiety. If she was in this group, the anxiety would build. She'd have these panic attacks. I've never experienced that. I have a friend of mine, a pastor, who's begun to experience some of these things. He goes, you have no idea what it's like, Jack. Before she went, I said, why are you going? She goes, I'm tired of just existing. I want to live. And I said, okay, that's a good answer. I was concerned that you were trying to please me by thinking I wanted you to go. And she looked at me and she goes, Jay, you can't make me go. You couldn't make me go. And then I said, well, the other thing I thought is our kids. You know, the kids were saying, yeah, we'd like you to go, Mom. This would be real good for you. She goes, I wouldn't do it for the kids. You have no idea the struggle it was for her to go, to get on a plane and fly, and to stay 6 weeks by herself out in Arizona. Whew, I can't believe she's there. It's really miraculous. We were doing this thing with this one counselor, and she kind of led us in prayer into this encounter with God. And as Adrian was, we were just praying, her anxiety level about this thing went from a 10 down to a 0.5. And she got done. She goes, I'm going to go. And it's been hard. The first 2 weeks are really hard there. She's scared, you know, being away. Called me up one night and, did you come pick me up? And my first thought is, well, I can't just drive over there, you know. I'm really hard. How do I, you know, it's going to take me a day to get there. Then we just talked it through and said, you know, Bethany and I are, actually next Saturday, Bethany and I are traveling down there for a week. There's a family time that we work through things because this affected our whole family. Matt's in college. He's not able to go, but we're working through things as a family. Because there's, you know, we all have some form of dysfunction. But God's bringing us through this. You know, I talk to my wife on the phone now, and I ask her the question. I go, all right, who is this? Where's my wife? Get my wife on the phone. Her voice sounds, well, there's joy in her voice. There's confidence. There's strength. And I don't know if I've ever heard that. I'm watching God transform my wife in a way. She went, last week was called Survivor's Week, where he had to bring her up to this trauma point. And she came afterwards, she calls me, and it's supposed to be the hardest week there. And she goes, Jay, it's amazing how light I feel. This thing that she's been carrying for 40 years, being lifted off. You know, I am so thankful for September 30th. Because God brought us up to the edge, rescued us, and got us to the point where we could get the help as a family we need to get. And it was hard. Up to that point, I has gotten to the point, you know, I was always going to be faithful to her. 29 years we've been married. I'm always going to be faithful to her. But I was tired. I was tired. I didn't want to continue on in this thing anymore. I'm not going to go anywhere. We've mentioned that when we got married, divorce was not in our vocabulary. I was always going to be faithful. But I became absent as a husband the last couple of months before this. It was just so hard. I'm so thankful for God that he brought us to that point. You know, there's a scripture in James chapter 1. Let's check it out. It said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it all joy when God brings you into these trials of various trials. You know, I am so thankful for what God has done and what he's doing in my family. See, what God does for those who have eyes to see, God's blessings are all around us. And as we give thanks for them, we notice even more and are blessed yet again. See, that's why we come with a grateful heart to God. Because God shows us how he has taken care of us. That's why we're so thankful for the salvation we have received and the gratitude and the life we now live because of what God's done in our life. We give thanks to God. As he does that, we see other areas that he is moving in every situation. So I can stand before you and say, I consider it all joy. The night on September 30th, Lord, I know you're going to use this for good in our life. I trust you. I've walked with you for so long, I know you're not going to let us go now. And I'm watching him do that. See, God has taught me to be thankful. I don't do it perfectly. Far from it. But I would say most of the time I'm a thankful man for what God has done in my life. He's taken care of us every step of the way through hard situations. And even those hard situations are great blessings. One of the things that God has shown me, do you know today is the 10-year anniversary of the first Sunday that I spoke here in this church. It's hard to believe that, isn't it, John? 10 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. I am so thankful that God allowed me the privilege to come here and serve. What a privilege to have you all as a congregation. The support that you've been... The cards. Adrian got 8 cards yesterday. She called me last night. 8 cards. She goes, nobody gets 8 cards. Because I had 8 cards from people in the church, and that was so great. The support that you've shown me, my family. Not just because we're going through a hard time, but the love in the community that we're building together here. That we walk through this thing called life together. We don't have to do it alone. Trust me, I don't want to go through this alone. But we're blessed. And I wonder, do you see that? Do you see how God has blessed you? See, that's the first step. Because we come back to Him and we say, thank you, Lord. And then we see how we're drawn closer to Jesus. And in that, we want to honor you, God, with how we live our life. So it's just not this, you know, you healed me good, I'm going on my way, but now I'm drawn into a life with you, Jesus. And at the end, Jesus says, well done, my faithful servant. Is that where you're at? A couple things I mentioned here is knowing Jesus, relationship with Jesus. Are you there? Is it something you just heard about? I'm going to ask you to do something real quickly here. Just kind of close your eyes. Just settle in on thinking about God. Thinking about Jesus. As you're focusing in on Him, just imagine Jesus there, standing in front of you. Have you ever really met Him? You ever really experienced Him? You know, as we're talking about this here, if you're sitting here today and you don't know if you've ever really experienced Jesus like this and you'd like to maybe talk to me or Pastor Greg or Pastor Joey or someone here, in a second, I'm just going to ask you to look up at me. Then we have to do anything crazy. But if you haven't really experienced Jesus like that, and you'd like to talk to someone, I'm just going to count to 3, and I just ask that you'd look at me at that point. 1, 2, 3. That's where you're at. Just look up at me. Thank you. Father, we just come before you, and we thank you. Lord, even that image of Father can be difficult for some people, depending on their relationship with our human Father. But we turn to you. Lord, I'm so grateful for how you've worked in my life, my family's life. I thank you, Lord, for how you're working in the life of the congregation here. And we're drawn close to you. Lord, we just come before you and we praise you. We give you thanks and honor for who you are and how you touched our lives so that we could know you. Lord, I pray that you create in us this heart of gratitude. We truly thank you, Lord, for who you are, and we praise you, drawing us into this relationship with you, a life of living with you and walking with you. Lord, today we just come and we bless you. In the season of Thanksgiving, Lord, we look to live a life where we live these 2 words out boldly. Thank you. Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.